This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Wednesday, October 10th, 2012. The Goblin Fire in the Animas Canyon north of Durango is now estimated at 110 acres. The fire, which was reported on Saturday, is burning upslope into the West Needles edition of the Weminuche Wilderness. It is believed to have been started by the Durango and Silverton Narrow Gauge Railroad. According to fire officials, four U.S. Forest Service firefighters on the scene are conducting a small burnout operation at the bottom of the canyon to steer the fire away from the railroad tracks. Their efforts at containment are hindered because the fire is burning on steep, rocky, inaccessible slopes. Two other fires in southwest Colorado have been contained. The Cinnamon Bear Fire, southeast of Pagosa Springs, burned 85 acres. A Type 3 helicopter and one hotshot crew are staying on the fire for mop-up operations. A U.S. Forest Service investigation into the origin of the Big Bend Fire near Dolores has determined it was human-caused. The fire was reported Saturday and burned approximately 8 acres of national forest land on a bluff overlooking the Dolores Cemetery above McPhee Reservoir. Yesterday was the last day to register to vote in Colorado for the November 6th election, and it seems many people rushed to do so last minute. The Denver Post reports that Colorado's voter registration website received so many hits yesterday that the Secretary of State's office had to double the computer capacity to handle the traffic. Secretary of State spokesman Andrew Cole told the Post that the website saw 85,000 visits on Monday, which is double the daily traffic from last week and five times the daily amount seen last month. Cole said they were averaging about 50 to 70 submissions per minute and had all hands on deck from the IT division. As KVNF reported yesterday, the Colorado County Clerks Association has criticized the Secretary of State's office for a series of issues, including untested systems and software glitches, which resulted in nearly 800 potential voters being blocked out of the registration website a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, it's election season, and for anyone who turns on the television, that means being bombarded with political ads and information. Now imagine those ads coming from candidates you can't even vote for. That's the case for some people in southwest Colorado who can only get New Mexico television. As Benta Berkland reports, the lack of Colorado TV has been a major complaint in the region for decades, but especially flares up this time of year.
Durango resident Ann Flatton says she knows more about Republican U.S. Senate candidate Heather Wilson than she'd ever hoped.
I do see her face often. Very frustrating.
My grandfather was a pilot in both World Wars. My dad enlisted in the Air Force.
Heather Wilson, third generation Air Force.
Leadership, responsibility.
The only problem is Flatton lives in Colorado and won't be able to vote for or against Wilson, who's running in New Mexico. And while this election cycle is nothing new, Flatton says each year it becomes more and more annoying. Flatton heads Citizens for Colorado TV Access. The group of local residents maintains a listserv and routinely lobbies lawmakers for help in bringing Colorado TV to the Four Corners region. In 2010, Flatton served as an election judge in her local precinct and says she noticed how some residents are literally in the dark.
We had at least a half a dozen people that wrote in New Mexico candidates because those are the only candidates they'd heard about. So we're disenfranchised.
Every state but Alaska and Hawaii has these so-called orphan counties. It stems from the Federal Communications Act, which divides the country into 210 media markets. Most markets are geographically close and surround a larger city. Last summer, the Federal Communications Commission released a report on the lack of in-state broadcasting. The commission offered Congress several possible solutions, such as restructuring service along state lines or expanding news service within a state. But broadcasters say any change would upend the television industry. Dennis Wharton is with the National Association of Broadcasters.
Once you begin to unravel the thread of localism that has served TV viewers across America for 50 years, then the revenue base of broadcasting is eroded.
Wharton says without localism, broadcasters would have even less money to invest in local and state news.
The alleged solution could create a bigger problem for the majority of viewers should we go down this road of allowing sort of multiple signals coming in from various sources. You threaten the very foundation of free and local TV.
And while the Four Corners region is closer to Albuquerque than it is to Denver, it's still a roughly four-hour drive. Republican State Senator Ellen Roberts of Durango is one of the many lawmakers over the years who's worked on the issue.
I've carried some legislation here as resolutions just to make sure people are aware of it and to urge our congressional delegation to do something about it. Somehow, though, we never seem to break through.
Robert says despite newspapers, the internet, and radio, most people still get their news from television.
We're in the state of Colorado, so why is it some arbitrary rule out of Washington, D.C.? How are we supposed to stay connected to our state? Just the principle of it is really offensive to a lot of people.
According to the FCC, the state of Minnesota has the highest number of households receiving only out-of-state stations. But overall, 99.98% of American households have access to at least one in-state television station. Ann Flatton says Colorado viewers face an uphill battle.
Nobody sees the problem like the people that have to suffer under it.
And because the issue mainly affects rural pockets throughout the country, Flatton worries future congressional efforts will go nowhere. Several proposals in Congress have already stalled or died. But Flatton and others in the region say they won't ever give up the fight. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Two of the four candidates in the race for the third congressional seat will take part in a debate tomorrow night. I'm sorry, that's tonight in Pueblo. KRCC's Catherine Claire O'Connor reports.
Republican incumbent Scott Tipton and Democrat Sal Pace will meet at the Sangre de Cristo Arts and Conference Center. The hour-long forum is sponsored by the Chieftain and KRDO. Chieftain Marketing Manager Tracy Matunema says it's important for candidates to pay attention to the area.
Third District in particular, Pueblo is a hub of that district. So all the candidates know and understand the importance of reaching the voters here in Pueblo and participating.
KRDO and the Chieftain chose to exclude the independently running Tisha Cassada and the Libertarian candidate Gregory Gilman from the debate because they say Southern Colorado's voting history doesn't viably support third-party candidates. The debate starts at 7 and is open to the public. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Catherine Claire O'Connor.
The state's tourism industry kicks off a 3-day annual conference today in Steamboat Springs. State officials say they'll take a look at better ways to market the state, but as Benta Berkland reports, they'll also discuss messaging, especially in the face of uncontrollable events such as wildfires.
Colorado's $8 billion a year tourism industry is coming off a tough year. Last winter was one of the driest on record, and summer was punctuated by large destructive wildfires near Colorado Springs and Fort Collins. Tourism Office Director Al White says the state is still compiling figures for the year, but he doesn't believe the low snowpack or wildfires made a big dent on tourism.
Out-of-state skiers came anyway because they had reservations. As far as the wildfires are concerned, I think given the localization of that overall, I believe our summer business was up in the state. I think it had something to do with the fact that it was so hot across the country and in the Front Range, and the cool mountain breezes were really feeling good to people.
White expects the final numbers on how the industry fared to come out in November. It'll be closely watched in tourism-dependent towns such as Steamboat Springs, where about 400 people are expected at this week's state conference. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Producers can enroll in the Supplemental Revenue Assistance Payment Program for 2011 crop year losses starting October 22nd. Under the 2008 Farm Bill, the program helps farmers and ranchers who suffered crop losses caused by natural disasters. To qualify for a payment, the producer's operation must be located in a county that was declared a disaster for 2011 and have at least a 10% production loss that affects one crop of economic significance. In Colorado, 49 counties received disaster designations in 2011, which qualifies them for the program benefits as long as all other eligibility requirements are met. All eligible farmers and ranchers must sign up for 2011 benefits before June of next year. For more information, contact the local FSA office. A Garfield County commissioner is tentatively in favor of toughening state rules related to oil and gas drilling near homes and other buildings. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that on Monday, Garfield County Commissioner Tom Jankowski said he's kind of in agreement with a draft proposal by state oil and gas commission staff for new setback rules, but he wants to hear more about the proposed changes. The state commission is currently reviewing their rules on setbacks and the proposal to require companies to do baseline testing of nearby groundwater before drilling. They're taking input from a broad range of stakeholders through hearings. Now, companies can drill as close as 150 feet from homes in rural areas and 350 feet in urban areas. The Sentinel reports that some conservation and citizen groups have requested minimum setbacks of 2,000 feet, but some industry, home building, and agricultural groups object to changes to the current rules. The Sentinel further reports that the Commission's draft plan would only allow drilling and production facilities less than 300 feet from occupied buildings with the consent of all property and building owners within that distance. Operations set further back would have lesser restrictions, but require consultation and comment periods. Operations less than 750 feet from high-occupancy buildings like school and hospitals could occur only with commission approval following a public hearing. The Sentinel reports that in all cases, drilling operations would have to follow restrictions on operating hours, use of emissions control devices, noise limits, and restrictions on or prohibition of open pits. This concludes the morning newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.